How about you? It just seems like God's placed before us so many opportunities that we have a chance to fill up 24 hours a day, 7 days a week throughout the rest of the year and never blink an eye. And that's why it's so important for us to be strategic and pray and ask God to give us insight into what we ought to be investing in and what we ought to spend our time doing. But one of the things that God calls us to do regularly and in our fast-paced life that we seldom do is to pause and remember. To look back on what God has done in the past and just allow the magnitude of God's glory, the celebration of His grace in our life, to grab hold of us and give us encouragement. And so every year we have an annual State of the Church address. And that's what I'm going to be doing this morning. We'll pick up Nehemiah next week. But this morning we're going to be taking a look back at 2004 and a look forward to 2005 and our vision for 2005, where we're going to look deep in the heart and see what God is doing. And as we proceed, let me just take you on a brief journey of 2004 and the events and what God did.
Have incredible things to look forward to in this coming year. But before we move on to 2005, let's pause and reflect back on 2004 and remember all the incredible things that God did through our church in this past year. This year, we realized a dream that we had been dreaming and praying for 12 years. This year, we opened our church plant training center and brought on our first resident. Our first resident, Denny Henderson, came in to learn how and work with us to prepare and plant a church on the UT campus, giving us the ability to impact 50,000 students over the coming years with the gospel of Jesus Christ. In February, the efforts of all of our church came together in an incredible celebration as we dedicated a doubling of our square footage in our new building. This new space that we've dedicated to the glory of God, we saw God do incredible things through our great investment and our phase four completion. And now we are enjoying lots of space for the ministry of Jesus Christ to be expanded in this community and beyond. This year, God gave us the opportunity to reach even more people with the life-changing reality of Jesus Christ. Do you realize that on Easter Sunday, we had over 5,000 people in our worship services to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? This was made possible because of the expansion of 400 new seats in our worship center. And though that put some of you further away from the platform, through our IMAG system, we were able to bring everybody closer together for the intimate feel of worship that we desire here in our church. Again, this summer, we did what we love to do around here, taking the youngest all the way up to the oldest and engaging them in getting out into the community in our great adventure. God has given us an incredible vision to reach greater Austin with the life-changing reality of Jesus Christ. Now, how can we convey the magnitude of this vision to the people that are part of our church? Well, this year we opened our Connection Center where you can come and in living color see the vision played out in all of its reality. In fact, here you can find out about our church planting, our evangelism, our various ministries, and how you can personally become involved in the ministry of reaching the city. We even have touchscreens where you can find out about various ministries and within 24 hours receive a response back as to how you personally can be part of this vision. It all happens right here in our Connection Center. Last year, we saw God do amazing things, and we worked really hard, but we also learned not to take ourselves too seriously.
Hi, I'm Peter Horn, and I lead the residency program here at Hill Country Bible Church. Dang, I do a lot of things here at Hill Country. If I could just remember what I do. Yeah.
If you show that in church.
Sorry.
I'm definitely not going to be on this video.
And I'm so glad you can edit all this.
Okay.
Sorry.
Have that one on.
Oh man, this is going to be a long afternoon, brother, at this rate, because I got this down more than anything else. Here we go.
Wouldn't it be incredible if someday we could stand on the... Okay. I got to look at the script.
You know, a lot can happen in 40 days.
I do like Rick. I love his little jokes, and I love his corny stories.
Wait, I can't even do it.
That was almost perfect, wasn't it?
When we asked and prayed for 400 people to step up and open their homes for small group discussions on a weekly basis in order to minister to 4,000 people, we thought we might have set the bar too high. But oh no, you, our family of believers here at Hill Country Bible Church, answered the call. We ended up with almost 500 groups, including home groups, women's groups, and student ministry groups, in order for 5,500 people to enjoy small group fellowship and read and discuss the purpose-driven life.
Over the course of 2004, we gathered together week after week to express our praise and worship to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That worship experience climaxed as we gathered together with over 6,000 people on Christmas Eve to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This year, our worship to Jesus has been sweet, and we owe it all to Him, our Lord and Savior, who all of our thanks and all of our worship to Him is due. What an incredible year 2004 has been. And I just want to give you a little bit more highlights so that we can add to our praise and worship of God. Last year, our theme for the year was Living on Purpose. And in the State of the Church address last year at this time, I shared that we would have the ability to live on purpose in four really specific areas. The first was reaching out to other people. The second was investing in ministry. And the third, in serving others. How did we do? Well, let's talk about reaching other people. During the course of 2004, we saw through the ministry of Hill Country Bible Church 972 people placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ around the world and in our community. And
173 of them actually are part of this church sitting here this morning that have come to faith and are growing in their faith through the ministry of our church. We also expanded our facilities. Today we have over 240,000 square feet of facilities in which to teach, disciple, mentor, worship God. In addition to that, we started our church plant training center and brought on our first resident, Denny Henderson. Church plant training center is designed to train church planters so that we can reach the city. And we're looking forward in the year 2005 to see a church planted on the UT campus. And that began last year. In addition to that, Hill Country Christian School of Austin, our Christian school here, had its highest enrollment ever. Over 490 students are participating in our Christian school here. Well, that's just an example of opportunities that we took advantage of to reach. How about opportunities to invest? Our budget for 2004 was $5 million. And you gave $5.4 million to our general fund. What an incredible act of faith, an outpouring of God's grace. And I know the economy's gotten better, but that's not why you give. You give because you love Jesus Christ and you want to see the ministry expanded here. In addition to that, we've had the opportunity this year to see new staff added. I'll give you pictures of some of our new staff. Bill Corbin, singles pastor. Mike Meadows, our communications director. Two new folks. Steve Tullis, our children's pastor. Ryan Shoemaker, junior high pastor. Rick Rhodes, our senior team leader. And we're excited to have each of those join us on our staff for this coming year to serve with us. In addition to that investment, you gave and we invested over $821,000 in missions this past year, both globally and locally in outreach in the community. $821,000. We got a call the other day from someone at the headquarters of Campus Crusade for Christ thanking us for a $500,000 investment that we've made in that ministry over the history of our church. And that's just one agency that we work through. And so we're very excited about that opportunity. Because of what is happening in the world today, we saw the earth shake and over 150,000 people in Southeast Asia and around the Indian Ocean have lost their lives in some of the most gospel destitute regions of the world. On Friday, our elders committed from our surplus that was given this year to put $100,000 into our tsunami relief fund. And we're beginning the process of investing that money. And let me tell you, we're just getting started. We're just getting started. We are partnering with a church in our town called Hope in the City, a church that I've had a relationship with for a lot of years. They have two evangelistic teams that have already been working in Indonesia for a couple of years. And so they have a ready-made access. They are sending a team of doctors and nurses, medical personnel. They'll leave tomorrow morning. We're helping fund that trip. We've provided a lot of the supplies for them. In fact, the medical tents, sleeping bags, mosquito nets, food, that all came from people here at Hill Country Bible Church. And they will be on the ground. And this is just fantastic how God's working. They're going in, they will be in Banda Aceh on Wednesday morning. They have a connection with an Indonesian Christian relief organization which will transport that medical team by boat into a couple areas where there has been no medical help to date. And that's happening because you guys write checks to Hill Country Bible Church. If you want to write more for this relief, and we're going to be investing in this over the course of the year as opportunities arise. If you want to write more, feel free. And feel free to invest. I know most of your businesses are asking you to invest through their business. And that's a great thing. We don't discourage you from doing that. Most of that relief aid will not be connected with Christian missionary work. All of ours will be connected with Christian missionary work. So that's just an example of an investment that you guys made last year that we're using this year to impact the world for Jesus Christ. The Great Investment, our giving campaign that we started almost 3 years ago in order to build our new facilities, secure our land, expand our parking, and expand our missions, you guys pledged $19.9 million. This past year, you gave $4.74 million toward that. So our total giving last year from this body investment was $10 million. It's incredible praise. That's the good news. The bad news is if we're going to complete all of our pledges by May, because our pledge time's over by May, that would include another $6.8 million. If everybody just finished their pledges, $6.8 million. That's a lot of money between now and May. Let me tell you, we need some miracles. Okay? At our business meeting tonight, we're going to talk a little bit more about this. Let me just ask you to do something. Let me ask you to make a commitment between now and May to pray that God would do miracles both in our church and in your personal life. I know some of you just have felt like you have not been able to fulfill your pledge. Begin to pray and ask God to allow you to do that. God, open up the windows of heaven, pour resources in my lap, give me the courage to change my lifestyle if necessary, so that I can continue to invest and fulfill my pledge. We want everybody to finish well and do what God's laid on their heart to do. And we also encourage you, if you haven't participated yet, now's a great time to get involved between now and the end of the year, or between now and May, to participate in the Great Investment. In addition to opportunities to reach, opportunities to invest, we've also had opportunities to serve over the course of the year. During the 40 days of purpose, we encouraged you to open your homes for people to come in, and we had 486 small groups throughout our community. That includes our small group singles, our adults, our student ministry, women's groups, special groups, and businesses. And we had over 5,200 people participate in a small group. Well, now we don't have 5,200 people here on Sunday morning. So that means that there were about 2,000 people from our community that were ministered to because you decided to serve and invite and open up your homes to allow people to come in. What an incredible, incredible year in seeing that take place. In addition to that, we encourage people to get involved in ministry. And 514 people that had not been serving in any ministry at Hill Country Bible Church made a commitment to get involved for the first time and serve. 514 adults stepped up and began to serve Jesus Christ using their gifts in ministry. What an incredible year. Finally, as we look back at 2004, we have some special difference makers that have been serving here for 10 years on our staff. And this morning, I want to honor three men who have given 10 years of their life to serve on our staff here at Hill Country Bible Church to make a difference for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We could have Doug and Michelle James make their way up here, Bobby and Amy Pruitt, and Wayne and Catherine Shoemaker. Y'all come up here. We want to recognize and honor you guys for what you've done to serve Jesus Christ through Hill Country Bible Church. I got a list here of accomplishments, and it's going to be a short one. We could go on through the rest of the service and all day. Let me just start with Doug. 10 years of service. Doug served for 5 years as our administrative pastor and then for 5 years as our executive pastor on staff. Doug has led all of our capital campaigns. He's led the purchase of all the property, all the construction of all the facilities. Doug has hired most of our current staff, was responsible to do that. He also has been responsible for most of the organization that we have here. One of the comments we always hear is, you know, you guys are so organized to accomplish your purpose. Well, Doug's responsible for almost all of that that's taken place here. And Doug has been my right-hand guy for 10 years. And Doug, we just want to thank you for all you've done for Hill Country Bible Church. On behalf of Jesus Christ, the elders recognize and appreciate Doug James for 10 years of service living the vision at Hill Country Bible Church. Thank you, Doug and Michelle. Next, we have Wayne Shoemaker, Wayne and Catherine Shoemaker. Wayne originally came to Hill Country Bible Church as our small groups pastor. He was such an effective person ministering to people in times of trouble, times of grief. You know, there's some people that are so solid in their faith and solid in their character and solid in their understanding of Scripture, you just kind of run to them when you need some help, when there's a crisis. Well, Wayne's that guy. And as his ministry here, Wayne has been responsible for developing our minister on call, our crisis care ministry, worked to develop our servants on standby, his handymen, many other congregational care ministries that Wayne has played a huge role in seeing develop here at our church. He's been involved in training lay counseling. He heads up much of our counseling ministry here. And for 10 years, Wayne has demonstrated a rock of spiritual maturity and wisdom in our church. Wayne, thanks for 10 great years. Catherine? On behalf of Jesus Christ, the elders recognize and appreciate Wayne Shoemaker for 10 years of staff service living the vision at Hill Country Bible Church. And lastly, but certainly not the oldest, in fact, you're the youngest, right?
Oh, yeah.
Significantly. Is our youth pastor, student ministries pastor, Bobby Pruitt, and his wife, Amy. Bobby has served for 10 years here on our staff. And let me just tell you a little bit about what's taking place in the life of our student ministry. Bobby has over 620 students who participated in mission trips over the past 10 years of his service here. 620 students exposed to the world. Our first great adventure in 1995 had 31 students participating. And this past year, we had 239 in this incredible ministry. 108 students have come to Christ in the past 3 years through our student ministry. Of the 286 former students who have had Bobby as their pastor for at least 4 years, he inherited a bunch of them from Danny Box, and so we can't take credit for those or can't take blame for those, right? Now listen to this. 4 years, the ones that have been with him for 4 years, 20 students have or are attending either seminary or Bible college today, and 25 students are in full-time ministry that came from Bobby's ministry. In addition to that, we currently have 5 staff members, and our church plant in Pflugerville has 1 staff member that came through the youth ministry at Hill Country Bible Church. Bobby, your commitment to Jesus Christ is obvious, your love for students, your commitment to evangelism and just being radical for Christ, crazy for Christ, has been such a hallmark of what you've done here, and we want to thank you. On behalf of Jesus Christ, the elders recognize and appreciate Bobby Pruitt for 10 years of staff service living the vision at Hill Country Bible Church. Thank you. Thank you, Amy. It's great to take time to remember and honor what God is doing through people. And very quickly, I want to take you to some wisdom from the book of Proverbs. If you'll open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 27, there's this little section of wisdom there that God's just kind of been speaking to me about over the past couple weeks as I think about where our church is and where we need to be as we look at the future. In Proverbs 27, starting in verse 23, listen to the wisdom of Proverbs. He writes, "Be sure you know the condition of your flocks. Give careful attention to your herds. For riches do not endure forever, and a crown is not secure for all generations. When the hay is removed, the new growth appears, and the grass from the hills is gathered in. The lambs will provide you with clothing, and the goats with the price of a field. You will have plenty of goat's milk to feed you and your family and to nourish your servant girls. Now, for those of you who are thinking business, this is a great little section of wisdom to spend a couple weeks pondering. For those of you who are planning an endeavor, a ministry, or raising a family, this is incredible wisdom for you to gather. And the principle in this passage is found in verse 24. And even though it seems like an agrarian setting, a farming illustration, look at the wisdom of verse 24. He says, "For riches do not endure forever, and a crown is not secure for all generations." What's the principle? Here's the principle. We cannot expect yesterday's success to ensure tomorrow's victories. We cannot expect yesterday's success to ensure tomorrow's victories. The tendency of the farmer who has been very successful is to say, "Hey, I've got enough. I've got enough land, got enough sheep, got enough crops. I'm not going to be diligent anymore. It's just going to happen because we've arrived. We've made it." Ask all the computer companies that Dell has put out of business in the last 10 years. If you can simply say, "Hey, we're making it. We've arrived." Second half of the verse, he transitions into the kingdom. The king's son can't simply say, "Hey, I've got the crown, therefore my empire is secure." If we are not doing the right kinds of things each day and each year, we will atrophy at best, and at worst, we will become totally irrelevant. Now, how do you keep from doing that? Well, look at what he says. He says, in order to have success, you've got to start out with continual planning. Verse 23, "Be sure you know the condition of your flocks. Give careful attention to your herds." You need to inspect what you have, take a look at it, count it, make sure it's in good shape, and start planning. What am I going to do with the resources that I have, and how am I going to put together a plan to move forward? Second in the process is continual execution. You got to make a plan, then you got to execute the plan. Look at verse 25. He says, "When the hay is removed and the new growth appears and the grass from the hills is gathered in," it requires going out and cutting the hay at the proper time in order for the new grass to grow. If a farmer doesn't go on time and execute in the mowing of the fields, he's not going to get a second cutting. He's not going to get a third cutting. He'll be short. And then he talks about the grass in the hills. The grass in the hills was a different kind of grass, herbs that made the goats and the sheep stronger. So there's a responsibility to get out and do something, execute. Now, right in the middle of all this, there's continual divine power. Notice that you cut the grass so the new grass will grow. Who makes the new grass grow? You see, if it wasn't for God's divine power working with your planning and your execution, you're never going to be successful. So in the midst of all of your work, remember that it is God who is working in you both to will and to do according to His good pleasure. Divine power. Next step in the process is harvesting. Once it grows, you got to do something with it. Look at verse 26. "The lambs will provide you with clothing." Now, the clothing doesn't jump off the lamb and onto your body. You've got to get the wool and you got to turn it into clothing. So just because you're doing the work doesn't mean that you're going to get there until you stop and begin to turn your work into something successful, something profitable. You've got to harvest. And the goats from the milk will provide the price of a field. Got to milk the goats. Just because there's abundance doesn't mean you quit. And finally, the final step is what we're doing this morning. And that is, there's continual nourishment. There's continual nourishment. Notice it says in verse 27, you will have plenty of goat's milk to feed you and your family and to nourish your servant girls. There comes a time when you take from the harvest and you enjoy it, it satisfies you, which gives you the energy to plan and to execute and to pray for God's divine power to harvest and then to start the cycle all over again. Now, let me share with you some information about church life from a guy named Wynn Arn, who's an expert in studying the history of church, and particularly the history of church in America, and what he's observed. Just listen to the statement. Look at the statement. He says, in the normal life cycle of churches, there is birth and in time death. Many churches begin to plateau and or show their decline around their 15th to 18th year. In 2005, Hill Country Bible Church is beginning its 19th year. Typically, in the life cycle of a church, when all the property gets purchased and all the buildings get built and all the ministries get established, a church begins to say, man, we've arrived. You see, there was a time when we were meeting in the school, when we were meeting in the shopping center, when we were busting at the seams in all of our children's classes and we were hauling kids back and forth across 620. And everybody knew, I am needed. I am necessary. We've got to work hard. We've got to pray hard. We've got to give hard. But then the flocks grow and the herds grow and the land grows and you feel like, hey, we're one of the biggest churches in Austin. We're one of the biggest churches in the United States. We've got the crown. We've arrived. They don't need me. And once you do that, a church begins to set in motion a process of decline. And the seeds of decline are planted long before the reaping of spiritual apathy takes place. And that's why in 2005, we believe that we need to do a heart check. We need to take a good look at what is deep in the heart of God and what is deep in our hearts as a church and as a group of individuals to try to ask and answer the question. Have we built the pad by which we launch an incredible outreach into this city and into this world? Have we simply laid the foundation and now we're beginning to take off? Or have we become satisfied, successful, and simply willing to just relax and enjoy the blessings of what we have? Three areas that we're going to focus on this year as a church. The first one is the area of vision. Here's our challenge. Our goal this year, our challenge this year, is that our vision captivates the hearts and minds of each person connected with Hill Country Bible Church Northwest, compelling them to make a personal investment to accomplish it. That each person here would personally make the decision that I am part of a vision to make this church what God's called it to be in reaching this city and beyond with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm vested in it, personally. I'm vested in it financially. I'm vested in it with my time. I'm giving my energy. I'm praying for it. I'm working together with a group of thousands of others to do things for God that He's calling me to do. Second is excellence. That our ministries are spiritually vibrant, forming a strong home base from which to cultivate the vision. Right now, our staff is in the process of going through and asking the question, from a qualitative and quantitative standpoint, what does it mean to be successful? What does it mean biblically to disciple a child? And are we doing that? What does it mean biblically to have a real life group? And are we doing that? What does it mean to have a community development ministry that's actually accomplishing what God does, what God cares about? We're going through all of that and evaluating every one of our ministries, because over the course of this year, we want our ministries to truly reflect the heart of God. And we're going to work hard this year to see spiritual vibrancy, excellence in what we do as a church. And finally, leadership. Our leaders develop Lead Now to expand the home base ministry and extend the vision through church planting. It is our strongest desire that Hill Country Bible Church becomes a place where people come and learn to lead. And our elders and staff are committed to work with you this year to develop a leadership mentoring program with a new paradigm that we've never seen in any other church before. We don't know what it's going to look like. The elders are a little bit afraid that I'm actually saying this in public right now. But that's our prayer and our desire, that we would develop spiritual leaders at every level of this church so that we could literally flood this city with men and women who know what it means to make an influence and to lead other people forward for the cause of Jesus Christ. Now that's our vision and our goals for 2005, that we would reinvigorate this already alive church with Holy Spirit power and see God do dynamic things here above and beyond what we could ever ask or imagine. Every year at this time, we take time in our service to dedicate the new year to Jesus Christ, the church new year, and our own personal lives. And we're going to do that right now. What we're going to do in just a moment, and I'll invite the worship team to begin to make their way up here. What we're going to do in just a moment is I'm going to invite the elders to come to the front and kneel at the front, and we're going to dedicate this church to God. The elders invite you to join them. If you'd like to come and join them at the front kneeling here in an act of worship and dedication, we invite you to come. Just tell the people that got you trapped, let me out. Make your way down to the front. If you'd prefer to stay in your seat, we don't want to put any pressure on anybody to feel uncomfortable, but we want you to take this time to dedicate your life, your church, and this year to Jesus Christ. Let's dedicate ourselves.